And if God is over here and sin is over here, if you don't turn to God, that's a problem.
Mm-hmm.
But
mm-hmm.
God is the one who turns us. God mm-hmm. is the one who turns us. He calls us. Like Jesus, it says, nobody comes to Jesus unless God the Father draws mm-hmm. them and calls them. That's part of it. It's part of it's a little bit of a mystery, but you can't just say it doesn't happen. Mm. It is part of coming to faith in Christ. You have to see yourself as God sees. God reveals the truth to you that you're lost and you're in sin. You're dead in your sin. And you need Jesus Christ to forgive your sins. Now, let me just point out, when I say the word repent, this is what people accuse me of. I am not saying that you stop all sin and then you can get saved. That's what the false teachers accuse people of, just because they don't want to deal with repentance at all. They just want to tell everybody, come on in and start giving us your money. And, you know, they'll call anybody a Christian. They lie to people.
Mm-hmm.
They don't consider any kind of fruit or the people's testimonies. They just say, believe.
Mm-hmm.
My point is that the important things in the Bible are doctrine. Jesus Christ has doctrine. If you ignore the doctrine, you will end up in false teaching. So you can't just say that faith comes without repentance. You want to understand what repentance is. You do have to study to learn doctrine. The Bible mm-hmm. says, study to show thyself approved, a workman mm-hmm. unto God, so that you be not ashamed. So we have to study the word. And yeah, some of these things, that there's always going to be some mystery with how God saves our soul.
Okay.
I mean, I don't think you can be like, okay, this is the formula. You know, it's repentance 1%, and then this happens, and then that happens. It's a miracle. It's a miracle. In Acts 2:38, it says, repent and be baptized.
Mm-hmm.
Does that mean you don't have to have faith in Jesus to be saved? You just repent, it's a work, and then you get baptized, another work? Mm-hmm. No, that's not what it means. It's using the word repent interchangeably with believing the gospel, because you repent and believe, as Jesus mm-hmm. said. You repent and you believe it. And it isn't just changing your mind. It's something God does to our mind. Yes, mm-hmm. it sets you on a new course. And it does change your mind, but it also, because of that, changes your actions afterward. I'm not saying, you know, we don't teach that you stop your sin and then you're good enough to come and ask Jesus to forgive you. It's a miracle that God does. A dead mm-hmm. man can't a dead man can't stop doing anything.
Yeah.
When you're lost in your sin, you're dead.
Mm-hmm.
You can't stop or start anything. You're like a slave. And when Jesus raises you and you get your faith in Christ and you're born again, now you have repentance and faith, and you never lose either one. Mm-hmm. That's why you continue to repent. That's how God sanctifies us.
Mm-hmm.
Otherwise we'd be losing our salvation every 5 minutes or every day or every week, whatever. And it's a mess, but it's a miracle that God does. And sorry, went off kind of a long on this one, but no, I think this is, it's not talked about, you know, I don't think it's talked about. And when it is, it's like, just, there's all this denial. There's all this denial. You know, I would rather have somebody not totally understand it, but realize that it's in the Bible.
Yeah.
Then try to say they understand it and then just brush it off and go through their life thinking, exactly. Well, I'm glad I don't repent. I'm glad I don't have to. I mean, I see a lot of believers that are stuck in that kind of profession mm-hmm. and the fruit can be terrifying sometimes. So I would rather warn people.
It's also an easy way for people to justify living in sin when they places the word repentance into that little box or ignore every other aspect of it. Then we continue to live in our sins. Then we come back and say, it's okay, I've repented. I know some people that have been baptized more than 10 times and they keep going back because, yes, I do, because they feel as though that anytime they go and sin, they can always come back to the cross, and the cross will always You know, the cross is forgiveness, and the cross is, you know, is peace. The cross is love. And I'm like, it doesn't work like that. He is love, but he's also a God of justice.
When Jesus saves your soul, when he died on the cross, okay, none of us were born. Okay. So he died for your sins. He died for every sin you could commit in your life, past, present, and future. So when you get saved, he didn't just die. There's heretics who teach that Jesus died for just the sins that you committed up until you got saved. Now, if you sin, you're like, that's heresy. He died for the sins of the world. He's outside time. And this was preordained before the foundation of the world. He knew who you were. He knew who I was. He knew what we would be able to do, how long we'll live, what day, when we would get saved. Okay. And when he washes us clean and forgives our sins, it's a one-time miracle. You know, I'm here because I was born physically. I don't have to be born twice physically. And I don't need a certificate to prove I'm here. See, you here I am.
Yeah.
You can tell I was born. And it happens once. Same with the new birth. The new birth is a spiritual birth. You're born and you're adopted into Christ, into God's family. And we're one with Christ, and we're not going to be separated from him. The Bible says nothing can separate us from the love of Christ. So yes, we make mistakes. Teaching people about repentance, it doesn't mean you never sin again. That's foolish. The whole reason you need repentance and it stays with you is because every day is a battle. It's a struggle. And the Bible says our flesh wars against the Holy Spirit. So we're in these bodies still, and we have a battle. And that's why we need the full armor of God also to defend against the enemy. But we have to wash our minds with the word of God. You can't just go through life not knowing what the doctrines of Christ are and expect to just be to grow. We have to read the word of God for ourselves. I mean, you can listen to teachings and stuff too, but if you don't know what it says, someone can say something off. I could say something off, not meaning to. Someone can write to me and say, Brian, did you know you said this? And I'll check it. You got to check it.
So in 1 John 5:21 says, little children, keep yourselves from idol. Talk about adultery among professing Christians in today's culture and the importance of believers to remain separate from the world. Another part of this question, what exactly in this current state of our world, what are our idols? What are some examples of idols? Because I know people say, I'm not bowing down to a tree anymore. You know, I'm not killing a cow and bowing down to it. So what are some of the idols that we have?
Well, the Bible also talks about God has said that they set up idols in their heart. You can't see that, right? God sees it though. I think people know what idols are. I think they do know what they are. But you know, anything that comes before God, first of all, a false Christ is an idol too. But in this, I think that sadly, obviously the world has a lot of idols. The lost people have idols. They come and go. Sometimes they look like Elvis. Sometimes they look like Milli Vanilli. You know, sometimes they look like different people, stars, you know what I mean? Hollywood. But the worst thing is that the professing Christians, the modern day church and the mega churches, and also I call them mini mega churches, the local ones. They don't have like 10,000 people, but they have like 200 or 300 people.
Yes.
They're mini mega churches all over the country right now.
Yes.
And purpose driven. I wrote something down here this morning. Mega churches have and use everything that Jesus didn't and lack what Jesus Christ offers, true doctrine. And Jesus said in Revelation 3:15, he's talking to the Laodicean church. And that's what I was trying to say about this age we're in. So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods, and I have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. Okay, so that's what's going on in these churches. They have these huge stages with bands and lights, you know, everything is like something.
It's a production.
Yes. And it's Ichabod. Mm-hmm. It's accursed in many cases because they're teaching false teach. They won't even teach what sin is according to God in His Holy Bible. This is the idol right here. Tolerance is the idol because they want to tolerate everything. And this form of tolerance is actually what it is it's intolerance of holiness. It's intolerance of Christ. It's intolerance of the true gospel. It's intolerance of God. And Jesus said, the way is narrow.
Yes.
It's intolerance of everything Jesus taught because they have a false new age Christ. So that is an idol that the mega churches and the just all the modern church, and I'm sorry too, but these churches that are telling everybody to wear a mask, slap a mask on your face to get, you can't get in the door without a mask to worship Christ.
Mm-hmm.
That is satanic. I'll come right out and say it. Because that comes from the government. That doesn't come from God, and it's not based on science. And you know, it's one thing a year, last year we weren't sure about that. You know, you might have said, well, we think it's so dangerous. You know, after 1 month and after reading, all you need to do is see what was actually on the real websites of this, even the CDC, is the whole thing is not of God. It's all about control.
I just also want to pinpoint that, you know, what you just said is so vital. And especially to new believers, these lights and these stage productions are not the true gospel. It is a way to divert our attention from the truth. You know, they are not teaching, so they are looking for something else to keep, you know, to keep us entertained. And so you will see the lights in the stage production and throwing of hands and all these Babylonian things just to confuse the believer. And so, you know, it's I'm glad that you actually spoke on it a little bit. I'm going to ask you our last, but one question. I have one more question to ask you, but before we go to the next question, this one says, many people think there is no significant difference between Bible-believing Christians and the Catholic Church, Mormonism, and other such heretical groups. What would you say to that line of thinking? They think that Christians and all these other beliefs are all the same. What is the difference between us Christians and them?
Well, that's sad that people think that. I mean, I came out of the Catholic Church. I was raised in the Catholic Church, so I know a lot about that. It's a works-based system. It's the false gospel. And it is a works-based system because they teach you to do A, B, C, and D. You know, they teach you to do these things. They're called sacraments in the Catholic Church. I don't know what the Mormons call them, but they do rituals and stuff too. And it's all based on your works, being, you know, how many doors you knock on or how many special pieces of underwear you wear or whatever they do. The Mormons, I mean, you know, It is part of it though. It sounds stupid, but they do these things that they have, there's a meaning behind it. They think they're doing something to benefit them spiritually, and it's a satanic lie. We're saved by grace through faith in Christ alone. Mm-hmm. And it's faith in the true Jesus Christ and not the one that you can't gain access to without going to Mary first. That's the Catholic one. Gotta go and talk to Mary and make sure, you know, it's all messed up. Everything they teach is messed up. And you don't have to look much further than the Pope to see how evil that apostate church is. But sadly, the Catholic Church is controlling all of these other churches right now. The Protestant churches are all lining up under the little Pope Bergoglio or whatever his name is. They go under him. And now, you know, Franklin Graham, you should take the vaccine, Franklin Graham says. Make your own choice, But Franklin Graham, I just wrote an article on this at truthdealer.news. He said Jesus would have taken the vaccine.
Wow.
I mean, I can't.
Wow.
So that's what I'm trying to say about how fast it's going. Second Thessalonians, okay, this is the mass apostasy we're in. Mm-hmm. The falling away. In Second Thessalonians 2:3, it says, let no man deceive you by any means. Mm-hmm. For that day, so talking about the day of the Lord, the rapture, whatever you want to call it, the resurrection of the dead saints first, and then we who are remain will be next. For that day shall not come except there come a falling away first. Mm-hmm. And that's the word apostasy, mass apostasy in the church. And that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. And, you know, I'm sorry, but that's the Antichrist. People say, you know, he's not going to be around. It's like, that's grammar. I mean, you got to read that sentence and deal with it. Mm-hmm. They were talking about, they thought they missed the rapture. Well, you didn't miss it, and here's why.
Yeah.
First, we're going to see this and this. I mean, that's what mm-hmm. it says. And Jesus said, you know, I will raise him up at the last day.
Mm-hmm.
And then it tells us that the dead in Christ shall rise first, right before the boom, boom. Mm-hmm. The dead in Christ and whoever's alive that mm-hmm. are saints, that are saved, will be right after the dead in Christ. So it's kind of like laid out, but the apostasy, the age, that's why I'm saying that we're so close to that. No matter mm-hmm. what your view is, if you think we're pre-trib, we could be days away. Because mm-hmm. this apostasy is so livid right now. It's just like out of control. And it's so in your face. This guy just said, he said Jesus would take the COVID vaccine. Excuse me. And he's a Protestant. Wow. But he's obeying the Pope. He's obeying the one who sits like in the place of the Antichrist all this time, mm-hmm. like a placeholder, the false mm-hmm. Christ. The Pope says he's the vicar of Christ. He says he's, mm-hmm. you know, that's part of their cult. And all these people are just obeying them. They're obeying the Pope. And that's why I'm saying how close we are. So we're either 7 years away, which is very close, or we're closer. I mean,
no one knows the hour or the time,
right.
And so
we don't know the day or the hour. We might know the month pretty soon. I don't know. It's interesting though with that verse, that's the Hebrew, that's the Feast of Trumpets, is their other name for that is no one knows the day or the hour, because they watch for the moon. They know what week it's gonna be.
Mm-hmm.
But they have to watch. They don't know if it's going to be Friday night or Saturday night, or they watch for the moon. And then that's the Feast of Trumpets. So I do think there's going to be something fulfilled. I'm not saying this fall, but I think that when the Lord, I do kind of see in the scripture that when the Lord comes back, it would be really, it would be hard for me to think it's not going to be at the Feast of Trumpets. I really do think that is when Jesus Christ is going to come back to the Mount of Olives and split it in half. And I did just see too that in Israel they said that a non-believer engineer, really quick, he said that the bridges are so damaged that if there was a big earthquake, 7,000 people could die. And that's what it says in Revelation.
Wow.
When that there was going to be an earthquake in Israel when Jesus comes back. And that around 7,000 people die in that earthquake. Wow. And this guy that said that is not a Bible apologist or like a, mm-hmm. you know, we can all agree that Jesus is coming back and he's coming back for his bride and he's not coming back to play games. So mm-hmm. it's important to share the gospel, you know.
Brian, I've loved speaking to you. We have 5 minutes for our show to wrap up, but I just wanted to take a moment to share with my viewers what you have coming up and any secrets that you want us to know about, any revelations in the space of 5 minutes that we have. You have the space. I'll let you speak.
Well, first of all, I did want to let your viewers know that I activated a a code at my site. So my site is kjvprepper.com, and that's prepper like P-R-E-P-P-E-R, as in spiritually preparing people for the journey that they're going to go on, whether they know it or not. And that is by showing them the truth of the gospel with God's word and stuff. So promo code, the code is freedom21, freedom21. You get 20% off any purchase. So that's that. And I had a fun fact that I wanted to share. That's what I was teasing you about at the beginning. That
yes, and never, I'll have never waiting for it.
Okay, so this is something I've never talked about on my show or anywhere else. But my 9th great grandfather was Sir Richard Inglesby, and he was knighted by King James in 1617.
Really?
The same King James that authorized
the King James Bible.
Yeah. Wow. And I didn't know that until last year. Some of the other people in my family were doing some genealogy stuff. And so I was reading through it, and I just thought that was so funny. And also Inglesby, he was actually a cousin of Oliver Cromwell, who they called the Lord Protector, who was a man who was a Protestant warrior. So I thought that was interesting.
Thank you for choosing. I feel very honored. I hope you'll come back again.
I would love it.
Yes, let's do this more often. I'm so glad Brian could join us today. Thank you so much for joining the Freedom Talk Show with Veronica. For those of you who will be asking about Brian's website and everything, I will leave it in the description below so that you know where you can purchase all the Christian apparels at, and follow his ministry, his radio program, and every other thing that he's a part of, so that you will be blessed. I'll leave all this information in the description below. But I would like to thank you all so much for joining the show today. Brian Monan, it's been a pleasure. It is truly an honor having you on the show. To have true believers like you around truly inspires. And I love that mug. I need to get myself one.
I could send you one.
Oh, I love that. I can.
The light's not showing it.
The light is shining on it. But what does it say on there?
Well, Jesus is Lord, and it's Truth O'Clock.
Okay, and these are all on the website as well, I believe. So for anyone who is looking for the mug, it will be on the website, and you can also purchase one. Again, thank you, Brian, for joining me today on the Freedom Talk Show with Veronica. My name is Veronica, and my guest today was Brian Monan. Have a wonderful day, everyone. Thank you.
Thanks. Be strong in the Lord.
It's the Freedom Talk Show with Veronica. It's the Freedom Talk Show with Veronica.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Freedom Talk Show with Veronica. My name is Veronica Blair. Today on the show, I am joined by a very special guest, Brother Brian Monan. Brother Brian, how are you doing today?
I'm blessed. Thank you. Thank you for having me.
You're very welcome. Before we begin here, I'm so excited that I just want to do a little introduction of you and some of the stuff that you have accomplished. So to my viewers, by the grace and the help of God, Brother Brian Monan manages 3 very important ministries I'd like my viewers to know about. First, he's the creator and owner of the Christian apparel supplier, KJV Prepper. He's also the filmmaker and editor of numerous convicting videos decrying false doctrine and worldly living are turned from your idols. And finally, he hosts a God-fearing, honoring, discernment-based radio program at Truth Dealer Radio. Brother Brian, this is incredible. You have so much going on, and I know that you are also a family man. So how are you doing?
Well, like I said, we're blessed. It's a blessing to be so busy for the Lord. And every day, I just thank God that he's given me another day to try and serve him better than the day before. And so we are pretty busy with a lot of things, and the kids are growing, young adults now, some of them. So, but it's new challenges as the ages change. But so, yes, I've got a lot going on. And I just wanted to tell you beforehand, this is going to be a fun interview.
Oh, I'm glad.
And I have some fun, never before released information about myself that I'm going to put on your show.
Wow, I feel so honored. This is incredible. Okay, my viewers, you heard it here first. Brian Mooden is going to give us the exclusive, and I'm truly honored to have
it's
you
really,
on the show.
It really is exclusive. It really
is. Wow, a blessing indeed. So I have mentioned three of your ministries, but first I would like to focus on my personal favorite, KJV Prepper. For those who are unfamiliar with your work in this calling, can you tell us about the company, where the company came from, and what it involved creating a Christian apparel that is not only cool, but to look at, but effective for reaching the lost as well?
Well, thank you. I'm glad you think it's cool. We try to keep it interesting enough. And, you know, I started out as a designer. I mean, all my life I have been a graphic designer and musician and filmmaking and different things like that. And that's what I went to school for, was art.
Okay.
And then a little while after I got saved, I started doing Christian shirts before I ever went on YouTube. A lot of people don't know that, but I had some shirts, different designs. They're not the same designs that are on kjvprepper.com right now. Only one of them is John 8:58. Jesus said unto them, before Abraham was, I am.
Mm-hmm.
I kept that design. The other ones, after some research years later, and after a lot of the studying I did doing the videos, Turn From Your Idols, I realized that not all the designs were the way I wanted them to look, based on some of the symbols and things that were popular in the world. But when I found out what they meant, I didn't want to hinder the gospel. I just wanted the word of God, and, you know, with a design, but not a symbolic design necessarily. So I went forward and redesigned everything. And then in 2016, I launched the company. So almost for 5 years producing Christian apparel,
wow,
all right here in upstate New York. And I make everything in my workshop. I've had several people say, I didn't know you make it. I didn't know you. It is not a cafe press store. It's all original, and I make it in my workshop.
That is incredible. This
is an office. My workshop is my garage. Okay. I have a machine. I'll send you a picture so you could drop a picture in for the audience. It's a very small and low key, the smallest of small businesses. Some guy, a customer just called me the other day and said, I had to make sure you were legit. I said, that's how small I am. You got to call to make sure I'm real. But yeah, we're everything that you order is custom made by me in my workshop. So
Do praise you have the Lord. Employees? Do you have a staff, or do you work alone?
My family helps when they need to, but it's everything I do from sketching out the design to making the design in Illustrator, Adobe Illustrator, to getting the transfers produced. They screen print the transfers in another location, but then I stockpile them in my workshop so I can make one off. I can make every order as they come in, customized. And then I make the order and I pack it up and I ship it.
That's incredible. And was there a reason why you began this, the Christian apparel? Was there a reason behind it, or you just felt that there was a need for it?
Well, as I said, in 2007, I felt that the Lord gave me these ideas, and he did give me these ideas to just put God's word on shirts, because I've been seeing so much wicked, satanic garbage everywhere I go on shirts, and I get sick and tired of it. My kids were little, and I said, you know, I don't see any, besides some of the, I call them trivial ones, or kind of dishonoring Christian shirts. So I don't think some of them are very sober. I think they're like, you know, when they take Coca-Cola and they change it to Jesus Cola or something. And, you know, I don't like that.
Yeah.
I don't like that. And I wanted something that was, I just kind of wanted things that I wanted to wear that had convicting verses for people to see because I didn't necessarily want to promote companies that were giving all their money to abortion. And so I don't want to wear Nike or whatever. I don't know. I'm picking that name out of a hat, but that isn't to say we don't use any worldly companies. It's just that when you're going to promote something, it's free advertising for them. I said, I want to promote the Lord. I want people to see this and think about it. Make them think. And so once I was able to do that, I remember the first time I made a couple of shirts, it was so cool. I just thought, you know, wow, I can bring this from point A to right to the completion. Mm-hmm. So then that was with the screen printing process. I didn't have the space at my home to do that. Mm-hmm. And I was doing that at another guy's place locally. And it all just didn't work out with me working at the TV station and all the other things that were going on. The schedule was weird. I had to print the shirts late at night. So it took a pause. And then I was led to preach online and do the videos, because that's what I went to school for was video production. Mm-hmm. And I felt that strongly that the Lord wanted me to use my skills, all of my skills, you know, and just go on and preach the gospel. And I did that for about 3 years with the documentaries. And that reached a point where I felt the Lord was wanting me to come back all the way back around and create this company. Now with the company, I have to use all of my talents that God gave me. I have to, because I do the video production for the advertising and photography and graphic design, and even some music production for the advertising. And so I'm able to use all what I can do for this one company and feel that I'm doing it for the glory of God, because, you know, these designs are all from the King James Bible. They're not watered down cutesy ideas on the shirts. They're pretty convicting a lot of times. And I've seen the reactions from that. So praise God for that. And so really that was the idea. It's just another form of evangelism, and it's not intended to replace any other kind of preaching or handing out gospel tracts. We provide those as well. I design those too. Mm-hmm. But it's just, you know, I like to use the example of when you're standing in line at the grocery store, there's people all around and they can see your shirt. You might not be able to have a conversation with them. You might not be able to hand them something, or you might not be out street preaching, but maybe you're just headed to the post office doing your errands. And it's just another way. That's all, like a billboard.
Just another way. I love the fact that, you know, it is so bold. You know, every single message on each shirt, each sweatshirt that we've purchased is so bold. And I, for one, love wearing them, because I feel like if I'm not able to, you know, approach someone, then my shirt alone is doing the approaching for me, because people do see them.
Yeah. And I just want to point out, Christian apparel is not a test for if you're a strong Christian or not. Mm-hmm. Not everybody likes to wear Christian shirts and messages on their shirts. Mm-hmm. And I don't judge anybody for that. Mm-hmm. This is for Christians who do want to wear it and who do want strong messages. And I'm not trying to say that, you know, if you don't wear this, you're lukewarm and everything. It is not about that at all. This is just a service that I want to provide with my talents, and a product that I want to provide. And I'm thankful to God that there are other Christians out there who feel the way I did, and that they want this kind of apparel. Because at first it's a pretty small, tiny niche to try and get, you know, but I'm blessed to be able to do it.
Amen. And I will keep encouraging you to keep pushing for it, because this is a great company. So my next question for you is, your video work at Turn From Your Idols features some very convicting material, urging Christians to wake up and come out of Babylon mindset of our present day society. One video in particular, The Fear of the Lord, sums up what I feel is the root problem of our world. Can you tell us in your own words what it means to fear the Lord according to the Holy Bible, and why is it such an important doctrine to understand and believe?
Yeah, it's important. The thing is that God is holy, and that's missing today. God is love, and certainly God, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. because God so loved the world, he sent his only begotten son, John 3:16. But the reason Jesus had to die on the cross is because God had to provide a lamb for us. Jesus had to die for our sins, okay, because God is holy. He had to have justice. And Proverbs 16:6 says, by mercy and truth, iniquity is purged, and by the fear of the Lord, men depart from evil. And, you know, we were just reading the other night about the crucifixion with my family, and just, but God is holy, and we should revere the Lord, and we should fear the Lord. If you don't fear the Lord, you don't know who he is. I mean, you have to know the true identity of God. God is, he's so holy, and he's long-suffering, and he's merciful, and but you can't just only focus on God's love and tell everybody. You're lying to people if you're just going to tell them, you know, that there's no justice. Jesus is going to come back and judge the world. He's not going to come back and have a peekaboo party, you know, or a whatever that is. I mean, it's not going to be playtime. It's not going to be little kids' games and stuff. He will judge the world. He will judge the wicked, it says. And so if you don't fear the Lord, I don't think you know who he is. And it's a healthy fear. It's because we love the Lord, and we understand what he had to go through. The wages of sin is death. And we're all deserving of death. So like Jesus said, don't fear them that can kill the body. Fear him who can send your soul to hell. I'm paraphrasing that.
Yes. Well, thank you. That got me a little emotional here. I just truly love your love for Jesus, and it shows when you take the word and tears comes to your eyes. It just shows the love that you have for him, and it's very contagious. And oh man, I just hope that this generation can get to experience, you know, what you are experiencing, and just know that no one is here to, you know, to condemn them, but to actually give them Jesus Christ and to present Jesus Christ to them.
To whom much is forgiven. You know, like he said about the woman that was crying by, you know, by his feet, that, you know, when you realize what God has saved you from, and then we love him because he first loved us. So
he first loved us. Yeah. The recent episode on True Dealer Radio, Dark to Light, Only in Jesus Christ, very effectively lays out man's lost condition. I want you to take a moment here to share with my viewers the gospel of Jesus Christ. What exactly is this gospel?
Well, the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Jesus was born of a virgin. I mean, I'm going to start with the basic things. You know, I want to make sure I don't leave those out. Jesus was born of a virgin in fulfillment of the prophecies that were in the Old Testament. And he never sinned. He lived a sinless life. And then he gave up his life on the cross on purpose in order to be a propitiation or payment for our sins. In other words, it wasn't an accident that Jesus went onto the cross and suffered and died. So he died on the cross willingly to pay for our sins, that we deserve to go on the cross. In other words, we deserve, the wages of sin is death. That's why you have the problems in life, because the world is a fallen place. When God made the world, he didn't make sin in the world. The world was good. Mankind brought sin into the world, and now we have to deal with the consequences of it. You know, if you bang your head against the wall, you're going to have a headache, maybe all day. Now, don't wonder an hour later, get mad at God, why does my head hurt? The wages of sin is death. If you rob a bank, you might get caught and go to jail. We break God's commandments, we're all separated from God. So Jesus came to earth and he was born of a virgin and became a man so that he could live among us and be a man, and he could provide the sacrifice in our place to God that would be acceptable to God, because he lived sinlessly. He never sinned against God, his Father. He went on the cross and died, and he was buried, and he rose again on the third day in fulfillment of the scriptures. So he's alive now, and hundreds of people saw him when he was risen from the dead too. Amen.
Amen.
And it's a historical fact. Even the Jews at the time, they didn't want him to be alive. They even talked about it. They tried to cover it up and everything. But so the idea that there's problems in the world, the reason for that is look in the mirror. God is good. Now, God allows things to happen because we have free will. If you want to drive your car off a cliff, don't expect God to send an angel and pick up your car just at the last minute, like a TV show or something like that. God might just give you what you ask for. So don't tempt the Lord. Mm-hmm. And in life, you go through life, and I can testify to this. You go through life as a lost sinner. You're going to have consequences. You're going to be in pain. You're going to have financial problems. You're going to have health problems.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. When you turn to the Lord for your solutions, then you will begin to see a change. And the first change you have to ask for is to go from death to life. And that was what you talked about, going from passing from darkness to light.
Mm-hmm.
We're spiritually dead. And Ephesians 2:8-9 says, "For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast."
Mm-hmm.
So it's not our works that save us, but we acknowledge that we're dead in our sin. We acknowledge that, yes, I'm a sinner. I deserve to go to hell.
Mm-hmm.
And then you turn to Jesus for the solution. He is the answer. He is eternal life. He's the way, the truth, and the life. Jesus said, "I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me."
Mm-hmm.
So it's exclusive. The world doesn't like that. The world wants you to have every religion. I'll take a little of this, a little of that, a little, I'm tolerant and everything. That's not loving, because Jesus, if that's the way it was, Jesus would have told us that. He would have said, "I'm here to be the 23rd flavor, you know, and after me, there's going to be a bunch of more, you know." No. He said, "I'm the only way."
Mm-hmm.
And then he proved it.
I want to focus now a bit on repentance. I feel like one of the most vital aspects concerning salvation, and yet there is so much confusion when it comes to repentance. What exactly is repentance?
Well, the main reason I think there's confusion is because people ignore what the Bible says. Mm-hmm. And it's the same with a lot of other confusion. But it's also very easy. It makes it a lot easier to ignore what it says, right? Because then they can just teach whatever they want, and they can get a lot more. They can tickle more ears, and they can get more people to pay them more money to hear what they want to hear, even though it's lies from the pit of hell.
Mm-hmm.
But repentance is not a work any more than faith is a work. Because if I tell somebody, "You must believe on the Lord Jesus Christ," does that not sound like something you do?
Mm.
You don't not do it.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't have faith, you die in your sins and you go to hell.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But I don't go around rebuking people saying that they're teaching that faith is a work.
Mm-hmm.
God gives us the gift of repentance and faith. It's a two-sided coin. But in Acts 5:30, I just want to prove it to the audience, because false teachers don't read these verses. I'm sorry. I'm going to start in Acts chapter 5, verse 30. "The God of our fathers raised up Jesus, whom ye slew and hanged on a tree." That's the cross. "Him hath God exalted with his right hand to be a prince and a savior, for to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. So it's something that God gives to us through faith in Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. It comes with Jesus. You cannot have Jesus without repentance. He comes to bring repentance. Jesus told us to go into all the world and preach repentance. Mm-hmm. I think it's at the end of Luke, at the end of Luke's gospel, in 2 Timothy 2:24. And the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patient, in meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves, if God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth. Mm. Oh, why on earth would I want to tell somebody that they don't need to repent or they don't need repentance for salvation if God said, in order to come to the knowledge of the truth about Jesus Christ and be saved, you ask God to give you repentance. It's a gift from God. That's why I get so upset when people just throw it out of their mouth. There's no repentance in the gospel. All throughout scripture, the whole idea of turning from iniquity is repentance.